We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's time for some audio open lines. This is how audio open lines works. We have some audio to play for you. In this case, it's a debate from ABC News Nightline. Does Satan exist? A four-way debate. We'll play it for you. We'll stop and start it occasionally and get your reaction. I'll have some comments, but I want to hear from you. That's what audio open lines is really for. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 1st of April. No April Fool's jokes here. This is really a debate about does Satan exist? Although some of the things you're going to hear might sound rather foolish, some of them not. I want your reaction to all of it. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email your questions, your comments, your reactions to this debate, does Satan exist, to us right here in the studio. We get them in real time, read them on the air, talk back at issuesetc.org, talk back at issuesetc.org. We begin with some opening statements from the various panelists. The panelists are Deepak Chopra, Carlton Pearson, Pastor Mark Driscoll, and Annie Lobert from Hookers for Jesus. And I think we start with Pastor Mark Driscoll.
Hi, my name is Mark Driscoll, preaching pastor at Mars Hill Church. And Christians have always believed that there are great distinctions between the Creator and the creation, that God is eternal, He is good, He is loving, He is powerful. God made both that which is material and that which is spiritual, and God gave both angels and also human beings free will. Satan was an angel who rebelled against God, in so doing led an insurrection. Other angels followed him. Our first parents joined that rebellion, and ultimately that is the cause of moral evil. It is rebellion against God. Everything God made, He declared to be very good, and all that is very bad is because of sin. That is our responsibility as well as Satan's. And God is so good and so gracious that though He is Creator and we are creation, He entered into creation as the man Jesus Christ. He came on a rescue mission to save us from sin, from death, from folly, and ultimately from Satan, who is our enemy. Jesus lived without sin. He contended with Satan. He was tempted and opposed by Satan. He never yielded to him. He never did sin. He went to the cross, and in great affection, He substituted Himself for sinners like me, and He died in our place for our sin. So that is the essential belief of Christianity, that Satan is real, but so is Jesus, and He works out all things for good, and ultimately He will redeem all that has been lost through Satan's sin and death.
Wow. Wow. I mean, okay. Thank you, Mark Driscoll, for not only answering the question in his opening statements, yes, Satan does exist, but setting it firmly within the context. You know, it can be an academic question, it can be an esoteric philosophical question, or it can be a question that is truly a real answer to a real question that really matters to people. And Mark Driscoll gave the answer that Scripture gives. Scripture says, if you said to the Bible, oh, Bible, does Satan exist? The Bible would respond, yes, but it wouldn't stop there. It would say, yes, and here's why it's important that we maintain the existence of Satan. And he said it very well. Satan is not just the enemy, but he's also a co-conspirator with us in our rebellion against God. And the only response to that rebellion should be judgment and wrath, but God sends forth His Son to suffer that judgment and wrath for us and ultimately to defeat our sin and Satan. So it's not just an academic question here. It matters that Satan exists, and he related it directly to the central message of Christianity, the cross. Great answer. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of April, listening to a debate on ABC News Nightline, Does Satan Exist? That was Mark Driscoll. Here, a philosopher's answer, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you. We're going to go now to Deepak Chopra for an opening statement.
I'm Deepak Chopra, and I think our consciousness, or if you will, our soul, is a place of contrast, because all creation occurs through contrast. You have up and down, you have hot and cold, you have light and darkness. So our essential state is one of ambiguity and ambivalence. And Freud, the great psychiatrist in the last century, the psychologist, said that neurosis and sometimes even psychosis is the inability to tolerate our ambiguity. The fact that we are sacred and profane at the same time, that we are divine and diabolical at the same time, that we can have forbidden lust on the one hand and unconditional love on the other. This is the human condition. That there's a part of us that is called the shadow. And this is a relatively recent idea. The shadow is that part of us that is fearful, that is diabolical, that is scared, that has guilt and shame, that is in denial, and that believes in sin. It comes from separation from our divine source. If we want to understand the nature of evil in the world, we need to understand the nature of our own shadows. We need to embrace them, we need to forgive them, we need to share them with each other, and we need to confront them. It is my belief that people who obsess over sin, people who obsess over guilt and shame, and unfortunately, there are religious institutions that have actually idealized guilt and shame and made it into a virtue. And when we obsess over these things and we collectively create this obsession, then we project it out there as this mythical figure that we call Satan. Healthy people do not have any need for Satan. Healthy people need to confront their own issues, understand themselves, and move towards the direction of compassion, creativity, understanding, context, insight, inspiration, revelation, and understanding that we are part of an ineffable mystery. That the moment we label that mystery as good and evil, right and wrong, then we create conflict in the world, and that all the trouble in the world today is between religious ideologies. There are approximately 30 wars going on in the world, and they're mostly in the name of God. So I would say, be done with Satan and confront your own issues.
All right, that's Deepak Chopra. What do you make of his answer to the question, does Satan exist? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. How would you respond to that? I mean, he says, in essence, that we religious types, I guess he's not one of them, we religious types, I think in particular Christians, obsess over sin, guilt, and shame, and that if that obsession is left unchecked, it becomes a projection of our own neuroses, and we believe that there's some objective evil out there called Satan, and healthy people don't need Satan. They just need to look within and deal with their own issues. After all of these religious wars that everyone's fighting all over the place, he says, be done with Satan. It's interesting. He didn't say be done with God, because one would say, well, if Satan isn't a projection, maybe God is just a projection of our healthy view of ourselves. I know it's hard to make sense of much what he says, but how would you respond to it? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. If you were on this ABC News panel discussing does Satan exist, how would you respond to Deepak Chopra's answer? 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, Deepak Chopra says it's just a projection of our neuroses. This is an old idea. There's not a lot of original material when it comes to Deepak Chopra. He borrows from a lot of other people, probably unwittingly. Well, look, if Satan is simply a projection of our neuroses, then God would be a projection. It stands to reason, of course, that God would be a projection of our psychological health. Why is one projection to be rejected and not another? It seems to stand to reason that if Deepak Chopra is going to be consistent, we should be done with both the concept of Satan and of God, since neither of them are objectively real. They're just projections of either our psychological and emotional health or our deep-seated neuroses. What's the problem, he says? Well, the problem is that people obsess over guilt and shame, and they think in terms of right and wrong. If we just stopped doing that, the wars would end. Really? Wars in the world, the 30-some-odd wars that he thinks he can enumerate, are the result of people disagreeing about God? Are a result of people projecting right and wrong on people? I don't know, that doesn't pass the sniff test with me, not in terms of history. Mark's calling from his car. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Pastor Todd. I hope I don't make a mess of this, but there was a reading in the Treasury of Daily Prayer a couple of days ago from Martin Luther talking about how a Christian puts their sins on Christ, and if they don't, then they can be ruined by obsessing about the sins and guilt. But if they put them off on Christ, then they can have peace. And as for the other part, I really agree with you, about the wars. And I never understand where these people get their idea from right and wrong or where they think they get it from, because, again, it's written on our hearts, according to Paul and Romans. But, there was a reading from Martin Luther, and, again, he was talking about how, you know, you put your sins off on Christ, and that, you know, that ends this obsessing about them and being obsessed with guilt and shame.
All right, Mark, thank you very much, and thank you for the call. When we come back, I'll react to Mark's call. 1-877-623-6943. Audio open lines. Does Satan exist?
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Evolution. Now, is it practical? Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Answers in Genesis Ministry.
Evolutionists always insist that evolution is such an important part of science today. But if this is so, shouldn't it somehow help scientists in developing our current technology? I once got a phone call from a man who said he was a Christian, and he was very upset with me because he'd heard me lecture against evolution. He declared that evolution binds all of science together, and if scientists don't believe it, they won't be able to develop any new technology. I asked him to give me just one example where evolution had helped advance science, and he answered by saying, "Well, medicine." So I asked him for one instance, and he was stumped. Then I told him I could give examples where evolution had actually caused medical research to go backwards. For example, medical doctors once believed our appendix was left over from our evolutionary ancestors, so they'd remove it for no reason. Scientists have been able to develop technology because God created the world with His laws of physics.
One of our best evolution-refuting tools is Answers Magazine. This year, as Darwin's 200th birthday is being celebrated, you need to receive a copy of this special edition of Answers. It's on the life and work of Darwin. For your copy, just present us with a donation of any amount when you call toll-free, 24 hours a day, at 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web at answersoffer.org.
We at NewReformationPress.com are committed to providing a hand-picked selection of books and teaching materials that educate, inform, and entertain while relentlessly focusing on the gospel. Discover our growing library of resources by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn radio program, including his powerful address, The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, or Bible in an Hour by Pastor Wade Butler. And be sure not to miss our selection of t-shirts, gifts, and artwork. NewReformationPress.com. Finally, Reformation theology made accessible.
Little audio open lines, listening to the ABC News Nightline debate. Does Satan exist? I want to hear from you. We've heard so far from Mark Driscoll and Deepak Chopra coming up. Let's see. It's going to be Annie Lobert. She's from Hookers for Jesus. Her experience, her says her firsthand experience with Satan and his minions in just a moment. I want to hear from you. Our email address this Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of April, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Your reaction, your questions, your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's Troy calling from his car. Hi, Troy.
Hi. I had a comment to make. I was just sitting here listening to what he said about how the problem was worrying about right and wrong and how that was wrong. And I was just sitting there saying, now, wait a second. He's just worrying about right or wrong because he's telling me that worrying about right or wrong is wrong. So he's got the same problem.
Troy, thank you very much. Smartest listeners in radio. I say it every time. It's proven almost every day here on the program. Right. This is called a logically self-refuting argument, the one that Deepak Chopra has made. He doesn't know he's committing logical suicide. If he did, he wouldn't make statements like this. But he has. He says, you know, the problem is everybody's obsessing about right and wrong. Well, Deepak, is that wrong? Of course it is. It's wrong to obsess about right and wrong. Sound like you're a little obsessive, Deepak. It's logically self-refuting, which a lot of the arguments that you hear like this end up being, if you just examine them, stretch them out a little bit, and look at what they're made of. Is it wrong to obsess about right and wrong? Is it wrong to war over religious ideas? Yes. Then you seem to be obsessed, Deepak, with right and wrong. Stop doing that. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Back to ABC News Nightline's Face Off. Does Satan exist? Annie Lobert of Hookers for Jesus.
Healthy people do not have a need for Satan. I think we're going to hear a very different perspective from Annie Lobert now.
Hi, I'm Annie Lobert, and I have a ministry called Hookers for Jesus. And as you probably don't know or do know, I am a former escort, prostitute, stripper, what have you. I came to Las Vegas to seek fame, fortune, and materialism. I was actually seeking a college degree, compromised my integrity because I wanted something that I saw others have. I was very empty inside. I was very unloved. I hated myself. And my own feelings, you know, of not feeling loved, because God is love, and I didn't realize it. I went to Sunday school. I was in a denomination where I was taught that God was angry at anything that we would do that was wrong. And I veered off towards the angry side because I didn't understand God, and I was afraid of God because I had a lot of issues going on with my family life and my personal life in school. And so I ran from my problems, and I went to Vegas because I thought having what the world showed us on MTV and pop culture and all the magazines would cure that feeling inside me and take it away. And for a couple years, it was really fun. I had a blast. I had Mercedes. I had, you know, any kind of diamonds I wanted to wear. I had nice houses. I was living the life. I had a pimp. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And as I continued to get raped and beat up by my pimp and treated bad by my clients, slapped, put in trunks, kidnapped, I faced death I can't even count how many times. And I lived this lifestyle for 16 years. I saw 10 of my friends die. And there night came in my life where I faced death. I OD'd on cocaine because I hated myself. And I kept hearing voices to tell me to kill myself. There was no reason to go on. And I know that wasn't coming from inside of me. There was a diabolical force speaking to me. And I truly believe it was the devil and his demons. And the devil almost got my life. And that night, I made myself real to God and I asked him to come into my heart. And save me. Save me from him, myself, and the bad decisions I had made. And he did. And now I reach out to prostitutes. And I do believe the devil is real, and it's what's controlling them, and it's what's making them trapped in the industry. And I'm here to tell the truth tonight.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you.
All right, that's Annie Laubert. It's her own testimony. Now, I cannot gainsay her experience. That's a very difficult thing to do. But at the same time, I would caution you to and you're thinking to yourself, well, wow, that's a strong testimony. And if you can answer the question, does Satan exist? What stronger testimony could you have than someone who says, well, I personally experienced the power of Satan in my life, and that's how I know Satan does exist. But again, experience, not only can experience not be gainsaid, but experience also cannot be proven. Not the events that happened to her, but what she thinks they mean. Now, do I doubt for a moment that Annie Laubert, living the life she did before, was under the thrall of Satan? Not for a second. Do I doubt that that Satan was directing the course of her life and driving her not only to despair, but ultimately to self-destruction? Not a doubt in my mind. Not a doubt. But that is not how do you, if she's got her experience of Satan, and then Deepak Chopra comes along on the other side and says, you know, I have an experience too, and it's not of Satan. My experience gainsays yours. And then it's experience versus experience, isn't it? Is there something more objective than merely my experience versus your experience? It's odd to hear this experiential view, and she'll go into it a little bit more as we listen to this audio a little bit more, this experiential view of the truth of Satan's existence, as opposed to Deepak Chopra, who says, in essence, you know, my experience tells me that there is no devil. Mormons, Muslims, Buddhists can also talk about conversion experiences, what they used to be and what they are now, or being under the thrall of, who knows? I mean, if someone wanted to come in and say, I was a Buddhist and I was under the thrall of the grand illusion of desire. Does that prove that the grand illusion of desire is really the problem? No. So there has to be something more objective than merely my experience versus yours. Next, Bishop Carlton Pearson, a now famous universalist, his opening statement, does Satan exist?
Welcome. Carlton Pearson.
Very touching story, deeply touching to me, and it's awkward for me to be here tonight because I'm from four generations of demon caster outers. I had tremendous faith in the devil, in his power, in his omnipresence, in his omniscience, this faceless, ubiquitous, hairy, horny, in my imagination, hoofed, fanged beast that was a nemesis to God, but I couldn't see it or him. I've heard that it's also she. If I saw a prostitute, that would have been the devil. And I would cast the devil out of her, and I have, with them frothing and writhing on the floor. But here's why I cast the devil out of them. First, I believed in the devil enough, and in demons. If it wasn't the devil, it was one of his legions. He had billions of demons all over the world. And a lot of them were in my church. My mom and dad, their parents, we believed in it, and we inculcated it, and we cultured it, and we navigated it, and we investigated it, and we interrogated it, and it was almost like a form of devil worship. I wouldn't have called it that. So when that thing manifested that I had invented, and people invent them, I cast it out. When people come to me who are demon-possessed, I know what they're thinking. So I went there. But I don't actually believe. I've been thinking, well, maybe I invented that. Maybe I called it into being. Because I've never seen the devil. Haven't really seen God. I just believe. And it's interesting that we have as much faith in the devil. In fact, it's an article of the Christian faith almost anymore. Christians will sometimes defend the devil more than they will God. So anyway, I have reassessed all that. And I think that the best way to get people free is to get them to stop believing so much in this hairy, horny, freaky, scary, omnipresent entity. And it will not manifest the way we have believed it to. And that will bring an element of peace, the psychosis, the pathological fear that many people have in all the religious faiths, not just Christianity, but Hindu, Judaism, and particularly the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. We really believe in that. We call them the great Satan. They call us the great Satan, and we drop bombs on each other.
because we so believe in the Satan. We're trying to kill it by dropping bombs on countries and cultures. And I think Jesus would not support that.
It's interesting how much Carlton Pearson sounded like, without the accent, Deepak Chopra. Deepak Chopra said that the devil is merely our obsession over sin, guilt, and shame, and a projection of our neuroses with regard to those things. And Deepak Chopra says, well, it manifests itself. The devil manifests himself, even though it doesn't really exist, really as a manifestation of our fears. And whether it's a manifestation of our neuroses or our fears, Deepak Chopra and Carlton Pearson appear to agree that the devil doesn't exist. He's just a figment of our imagination. I mean, that's a simple way of saying a manifestation of our fears or a manifestation of projection of our neuroses, a figment of our imagination. And both of them said if we stopped worrying so much about the devil, then we wouldn't have so many wars and it wouldn't manifest itself this way. Wow, we have amazing power to project our neuroses and fears, according to Carlton Pearson and Deepak Chopra. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. More on this after the break.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over casserole in. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
I was around when Jesus Christ had his moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to an ABC News Nightline debate, a face-off on the subject, does Satan exist? I want your reaction to this discussion. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 1st of April. Talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Don is listening in Junction City, Kansas. Hi, Don.
Yeah, thank you, Todd. The Bible warns us about the activities of Satan. In fact, Jesus said, "The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." All we have to do is pick up the morning newspaper to see what Satan has done. Also, we can look at history, and he has a long history of his activities. Thank you.
All right, Don, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas. You know, Carlton Pearson, at the end of his comments, said something like, Jesus wouldn't approve of all this obsessing about Satan, projecting our fears and calling it Satan. And it's odd for Carlton Pearson to say that, because the Jesus that we find in the New Testament seems to believe that the devil exists too. In fact, if we read those accounts as they present themselves, simple narrative, Jesus has personal encounter from time to time with the devil, and certainly talks an awful lot about the devil. So I guess if we're going to be consistent with Carlton Pearson, Jesus must be manifesting his, when he went out to be tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, it was Jesus' fears manifest in physical form that appeared to him and tempted him to turn those stones into bread. I mean, to say that Jesus wouldn't approve of all this, you really have to then ask, which Jesus is Carlton Pearson talking about? The one in the New Testament, who obviously did believe in the devil, or the one of Carlton Pearson or anyone else's imagination? 1-877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Next, a question for Pastor Mark Driscoll.
Pastor Mark, if God is a loving God, why would he create Satan?
I think he created angels and people, and he gave us the capacity to have free will. For there to be virtue, there must be the possibility of vice. And that's what distinguishes those of us, people and angels, from other forms of creation, trees, animals, and the like. We have volitional will, we have consciousness, we have moral decision-making. And so God didn't create evil. God didn't create injustice or tyranny or oppression. He created free will in angels and people. And Satan and the demons and human beings have chosen to disobey, to rebel, and that's the source of the trouble.
So he can create us, and he can create the devil, and we can engage in evil, but he didn't create that. The result.
Now, initially, according to the teaching of the Bible, Satan was an angel. Angels are perfectly good. Those that didn't rebel, the Bible says that they honor God and they help us, and they are spirit beings that assist in God's purposes on the earth. So Satan started as one of those and then went astray. And so he walked away from God's intention for him. He's a rebel.
So why would God allow somebody who's an avowed enemy of God to continue to exist? Why doesn't God just stop it?
Yeah, and the point of the cross of Jesus, according to Colossians 2, is that on the cross, in dying for our sins, Jesus canceled the right that Satan had to rule over us, to influence our thoughts, to have an effect on our eternity, and that ultimately Jesus is coming back to put a final end to Satan and his work. So we're in the middle of history, and the Bible says that God works out all things for good, and so ultimately Satan will be ultimately finally defeated. Sin and all of its effects will be lifted, and the earth and humanity will be returned back to the state that God intended, which was very good.
So even though God loves us, he does allow Satan to exist in our lives, tempt us, and make us miserable.
And he also sends Jesus to die for our sins, sends God the Holy Spirit to tell us the truth so we don't believe his lies, to give us the strength to say no to his temptations. And he allows and enables us to win in the battle that we are in spiritually.
Why create that choice? Why not just let everything be peaceful?
Well, I think if you don't allow choice, the theologians will say you don't have love. That love requires volition, and that God does not want automatons, he wants persons. And so the argument is made that if God were not allowing choice, then you wouldn't have evil, but you would also not have love.
All right, that's another good answer from Mark Driscoll. And, I mean, I might tweak it a bit here and there, but my goodness, can the guy drive back to the cross? Yes, he can. A good example, just let me just for a second say, here's a good example. It takes, you got to turn on ABC News Nightline to hear a Christian preacher talk about the cross. Why can't you hear that on Sunday morning in your own church? Why not? Come on, it's not that hard. Mark Driscoll did it standing on his head. And again, setting it in the context of these questions that he was being asked about, essentially the problem of evil. If God is so good and loving and great, why does he permit evil to exist, Satan in particular?
He gave good scriptural answers for that. Good, solid scriptural answers. And, you know, people, they think, well, if Satan exists and God is good, Satan is evil, then God must have created Satan, so God created evil. No. Remember, one thing I would have added to Driscoll's answer, evil isn't the presence of something. Evil is the absence of a fear, love, and trust in God. And that can exist apart from God. Okay, time for one more cut. Here again, Deepak Chopra.
It's actually a little difficult for me to respond because everything he says is in contradiction to what we know about the physical universe that began about 13.8 billion years ago in something called the Big Bang. Our planet Earth is only about 3.5 billion years old. The first microorganisms, known as chemolithoautotrophic hyperthermophiles, evolved around 2.5 billion years ago. Human beings have been on this planet for only 200,000 years. We've had self-awareness, written language for about 5,000 years, oral language for about 15,000 years, and self-awareness for about 4,000 or 5,000 years when all these literatures evolved. So the Bible that he quotes as authority is totally in contradiction with everything that we know about cosmology, about evolution, about biology, about mathematics, about physics, and about everything that allows us to understand who we are, which doesn't mean that we've solved the mystery of our existence, which does not deny that there may be a divine intelligence at the heart of creation that is ineffable, that is mysterious, that is sacred. But to suddenly call God a he, I've been hearing all this terminology. How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive? Why don't we understand that so-called evil is a part of ourselves? Annie said it so elegantly when she said, I was full of guilt and shame. That's what you confronted. Now you want to put that guilt and shame to some mythical identity out there. And yet you did that, but then you took responsibility for your own self. Why don't you give the credit to you? The universe has destruction. Nature is capricious, but nature is not evil. There are forces of entropy. There are forces of evolution. And we do have free will. We can choose one or the other. But let's not create primitive ideas about these notions.
I'm just shocked, given his worldview, how judgmental Deepak Chopra is. I'm just shocked at it. I mean, he is willing to say this is wrong, 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 wrong in a universe where he says the problem is this distinction between right and wrong. He's quite judgmental for someone who believes that we are nothing more than an odd collection over time by random chance of atoms and molecules. And that human sentience is nothing more than a product of evolution. I mean, he seems rather judgmental. He's urging the two Christians on the panel, you know, it's good that your life has changed, but give yourself the credit. Give yourself the credit. That sounds oddly like a voice that once echoed in the garden. Come on. Sure, God is God, but he's holding back something. There's something better. Look, Deepak Chopra, I don't know what his... he used to be some kind of a scientist. Now he's a guru and philosopher, whatever he decides to be at the moment. With a worldview like his, he really has no basis for judging whether or not a person's belief in God or Satan, and now he's come to it, God is just as vacuous an idea as Satan is for Deepak Chopra. He really has no business judging that. I mean, how can you judge if the concept of God is nothing more than an evolutionary artifact? How can Deepak Chopra know for sure that the concept of evolution is nothing more than an evolutionary artifact? How can he know that that notion didn't also evolve along with the human race? How can he know that his notion of where the universe came from isn't in fact just the product, a rather sophisticated product, of very primitive ideas, as he says, religions are. Does Satan exist? Yes. But I think Mark Driscoll said, The real question is, has God sent the rescue mission in his son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin and deliver us from sin, devil, and ourselves? Yes, he has. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.